Hey, this is Kari Payton. I'm Cyborg from Teen Titans and Injustice 2.
And Ezekiel from The Walking Dead. And you're listening to The Night Nerd. So keep listening.
Also, booyah! Because I'm schizophrenic.
Welcome to the Night Nerd Podcast. I'm your host, Lance. It's Tuesday, so we're going to talk some TV and movies. All week, we're celebrating trains. I just started a new job with BNSF Railways, and it's been pretty awesome. They do trains, so hence the train motif of the week. And trains are everywhere. You know, yesterday we talked about video games and the roles that trains play in video games. And if you thought that was something, what do you see today's show when we talk about trains in movies? It's gonna blow your socks off. Before we go any further though, make sure you hit that little subscribe button. That way you get not only this show, but you also get DC Animated Adventures and Blah Blah Comics Blah Blah Curse Words, plus a whole lot of other really fun shows like Family Sounds and stuff that we throw in from time to time, all for free. Just hit that little subscribe button. But yeah, so trains in movies. If there weren't train movies, there wouldn't be movies. It's that simple. You go as far back, you know, you look at 1896 with the train pulling into a station from the Lumiere brothers over in Paris, France. This was one of the most talked about, I mean, to this day, one of the most talked about and amazing films ever made. It's 50 seconds, it's silent, and all it does is show a train being pulled by a steam locomotive coming into the station. And that's really it. You know, a lot of their films showed day-to-day life, but this one was the first to use techniques like long shots and medium shots, close-ups, forced perspective. What forced perspective is you put smaller things in the back to make them seem farther away, and did some camera angles and things. Now, it is said that the first time this was shown, that it terrified people so much that they thought the train was actually coming at them, that they ran to the back of the theater and hid. That story is so popular and widely believed. I mean, we saw it pop up in Hugo. It was ranked number 10 on this top 10, or sorry, number 100. Add a zero there. 100 on the 100 greatest scary moments and everything. There's been some talk, though, that it was actually a 3D version of the movie that was aired in 1935, so 40 years later, that caused the shock and panic. Either way, you know, this film is incredibly important. Even March of 2017, some people encoded it into DNA, which I don't even know how that works, but I'm down. On the other side, the American side of film, if you look at 1903, you have a film called The Great Train Robbery. This is, again, one of the most influential movies in history. It's about 12 minutes long, so that, of its time, you know, is incredibly, incredibly impressive. It's uses a lot of technique. He uses a lot of shots. If you've ever seen Tombstone, that scene with the cowboy at the first and the opening where he fires the gun directly at the camera, that's from The Great Train Robbery. So that tells you, you know, just how he's still, you know, 90 years later, it was still impressive. Now, at the time, you know, use some other new techniques. It was on location. Nobody shot movies on location unless they were a documentary. It also had a lot of camera movements. It had a lot of editing where we were showing things, you know, going on at the same time but in different locations. They even went through and hand-colored some of the scenes. If you haven't watched it, it's 12 minutes. It's on YouTube. It's on Wikipedia. I mean, you can find it pretty much anywhere. And it's considered to be the first American action film and the first Western film. So lot of importance, and it's, you know, about a train robbery. So that just blows my mind. Further, that the budget for the film was $150, which today was only like $4,000. And it was one of the most profitable movies. I mean, it's been shown in everything. It's just so amazing. And, you know, we talk a lot about how we don't trust Rotten Tomatoes unless if it's a 0 or 100. Well, this is 100 on there. And that just, oh, it's amazing. And as time would go on, you know, you would have a lot of movies feature trains. Usually, it's a good place for murder mysteries. You know, if you go back to the 30s, you had like Shanghai Express, The Lady Vanishes, Le Bête Humaine. Moving forward in the 50s, you had Narrow Margin, Night Train. And that's another thing that Alfred Hitchcock loved. Trains. They were in a lot of his movies. You had the 39 Steps, like we mentioned, The Lady Vanishes, Strangers on a Train, North by Northwest. I mean, if it's something that Hitchcock, one of the greatest filmmakers of all time, can go back to that many times, you know, it's definitely something worth examining and worth looking at. I think Trains may have lost their mysticism a little bit, but, you know, even as recently as the 80s, you had a lot of movies, 70s and 80s and stuff, because if you look, some great comedies take place on trains, whether it's Throw Mama from the Train with Danny DeVito and Billy Crystal. That's a great movie if you've never seen it. Hilarious and really, really great. Kate Mulgrew is in it, so Captain Janeway is always good. Oprah Winfrey shows up, Bruce Kirby, Rob Reiner. It's directed by Danny DeVito, so that's pretty cool too. Like we mentioned, back in the 70s, you had Silver Streak with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor, one of their many phenomenal movies together. Personally, I think See No Evil, Hear No Evil is their best, but Silver Streak is definitely up there, just to watch and laugh and have fun with. Even Back to the Future, Part 3. It's 1990, so can't really say it was in the 80s, but very, very early 90s. You had one of my favorite scenes in the entire trilogy, where they're pushing the DeLorean on the train there at the end. You know, they have to get up to 88 miles an hour, and things just go wrong, whether it be Clara showing up or hoverboard doing its thing. It's just really, really cool, to the point where the last scene of the movie, they have the retrofitted train that now hovers and everything, and they're traveling through time. And even the animated series that came afterwards used the train a lot in its stuff too. Probably the most recent example of a solid comedy on a train is the Darjeeling Limited, if you're a Wes Anderson fan, which I am. This is, I know some people don't like it, Derek, because it's a little heavy on the metaphors and imagery and stuff, but it's still a really fun movie. I mean, you have Owen Wilson, Adrian Brody, Jason Schwartzman playing three brothers traveling on a train, talking about their deceased father. Then you get all of Anderson's normal people show up. You have Bill Murray, Angelica Houston, are from Khan. It's just a phenomenal movie. One of my favorite Wes Anderson movies, if I'm being honest. I think it's really, really great. And again, all because of a train. None of these movies would be possible if it wasn't for trains. So, you know, like we said yesterday, trains are important on so many different levels, but in film, you wouldn't have the films you know and love today if it weren't for trains. And Thank you, films. We appreciate that, and that's awesome. Let us know what are some of your favorite film movies. You can let us know in comments below here on SoundCloud or over on social media. Check us out, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're everywhere. Just look for The Night Nerd. We're out there, and we'd love to hear from you. You can even email me, nightnerd@thenightnerd.com. It's a great way to get a hold of me. But otherwise, that's going to be it for me today. Again, I'm Lance. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you next time. Conversation.